broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, this is Liberty Roundtable Live, ladies and gentlemen. Friday, June 7th, in the year of our Lord, 2019. Hard-hitting talk at your fingertips. An incredible, special two-hour, we rarely do this, but two-hour interview with Walter Berrien continues. And the issues are serious indeed. We're talking about the dumbing down of America. Who profits, ladies and gentlemen? Walter's website, CAFR1, which stands for the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report, CAFR, if you will. And the video he's put out is the biggest game in town. He's been at this for a long time. A lot of us have heard about it, but it is very, on one hand, complicated. On the other hand, it's simple as all get out. Bottom line is they created fake money and took over the world. Government debt, ladies and gentlemen, equals government investment. Government owns everything. I repeat, everything by investment. And now the key question is, do you own your government or does your government own you? How many governments exist in the United States anyway? And so with that summary of what we covered, we kind of broke it down and said, hey, it was dishonest money, the Federal Reserve, that backed them into this con game. But now they're doing it in flat-out plain sight. And I submit they haven't taken over everything. Walter's saying they have taken over at all. I say they're getting close, but they don't have it yet. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But that summary is the recap of last hour. This hour, we're going to bring on with us Richard Mack, who knows Walter as well. Hi, Richard.
Well, good morning, Sam. Good morning, Walter.
Good morning.
And Kurt is with us as well. And this interview can go so many places, but I want to talk about how, on one hand, it's in plain sight. The raw data is there. Walter's linked to it on his site. But how the people are so dumbed down, so deceived. And the answer starts with the point you made at the end of the last hour, Walter, bread and circus, sir.
Yeah, it's the money involved. I mean, when you're not talking, like I said, a $5 bet on Dallas, you're talking trillions of collective dollars, power structures of no equal in the world. And for these individuals to maintain control over it, where those monies are spent, where they're invested, which is the biggest power, you know, structure in the world, you know, they have to make sure that the public masterfully entertained, deception, if you start talking about it, immediate misdirection, you know, or distraction, yeah, due to the money involved, nothing more, nothing less, very simple. And the numbers, you know, a showing of the collective totals was their worst nightmare. You know, they had to keep their own records, but they didn't want the public finding out about it. Thus, the comprehensive annual financial report, never repeat, never mentioned, never word. As mentioned from my front page, you'll see a link which says examples of, and I have 4,600 examples up there. You realize it's standard across the country. And being that you've never heard a politician, a news anchor, they all know about it. But not a peep, not a mention, not a word due to the repercussions and consequences. That should scare you very, very much because it shows you the degree of control over maintaining a void and a vacuum in your thinking, cognitive thinking, knowledge due to the money involved. On the Z1 report, it's very, very important. Now, they never mentioned the Z1 report, and you'll find some very high up, you know, financial people which may reference a net figure or a net, you know, determination. And the net figures are not important. I mean, they are important, but it's a distraction. It's a misdirection. You want to look at the raw data, okay? Everybody always talks about, you know, wealthy individuals. Bill Gates got an $87 billion net worth. Well, when you look at the collectives on local government and federal, they're verging on $100 trillion in investment capital and wealth held. Government beats out the brokerage houses, you know, the insurance companies and the banks regarding equity held and wealth held. In fact, you know, once you think about it, the banks, brokerage houses, and insurance companies, the wealth shown held by those groups, a good chunk of it is government's investment capital. Yeah, so their wealth is not truly theirs. you know, they're holding a good chunk of wealth for collective government. The government itself, though, when it shows its total wealth, what they do is they then counter it by establishing liability aspects, you know, projected ahead 45 years. So they may show $89 trillion in wealth held here, but then they'll project 45 years out $90 trillion in liabilities. So they can now promote, we're $1 trillion in the hole. Well, when they never mention the $89 trillion held today, you know, it's, I consider that very misrepresentative. You know, you, I, Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, you know, if we projected out our liabilities 45 years and our income 1 year, would all look like we're on death's financial door. You know, what's important to look at is the standing wealth today when you look at those data tables. And it's pretty obvious that the corporations, the private sector, is in hock to government. Government's the number one investor in debt. And the corporations, the private sector, owes government, you know, most of their debt, with government being the number one investor. So, you know, again, I mentioned, you know, government, you know, people are familiar, well, taxation, yeah, right. Well, the interest payments on that debt going back to government. Public ever think about that? Probably not. Maybe a few. The, you know, mortgage for your house, you know, the interest payments on that going back to government. Anyone think about that? Probably not. You know, so we've allowed, you know, the carte blanche creation of one financial structure after another, allowing government on all levels to take more, take more, take more, and probably 60% of it we don't even know exists. I did a show with George Norrie a couple years ago. It was about a two-hour show. And about 45 minutes in, I said, George, do you know the easiest way I could steal $250,000 from you? His instant reply was, tax me. And I said, no, there's a much easier way. And he goes, what's that, Walter? I said, if you didn't know you had it in the first place. That sunk in. And, you know, with government keeping a total vacuum on the collective totals, the gross income, the expansion each and every year of the income, the public's sitting there totally clueless. But the reality of the situation is, when you look at this massive amount of money generation involved, wealth being held, investment capital, there is no greater issue, period, on the face of the planet, because that obfuscation of the wealth, every other issue, period, stems from it, period. Now, Donald Trump, you know, who I like to a certain degree, I met back in 1989-90, I got invited to the party on the Trump Princess, you know, and I, you know, went down early and left late, spoke to Ivanka for about 2 hours, Donald about 15 minutes, but every one of his top people I went out of my way to chat with. Now, his financial guy, his last name was Black. I forget what his first name could have been, Jeff Black or Bill Black. I forget the first name. But, yeah, Donald's main business was, you know, promoting these real estate development projects. He had his financial guy looking through all the city, county, and state comprehensive annual financial reports to see who was cash rich, sitting on $1.5 billion, $2 billion of idle funds, so they could pitch him on investing in his different real estate projects, either domestic or international. Yeah, so he had his financial people combing the comprehensive annual financial reports, is going back into the 80s and 90s. Would Donald Trump ever mention the comprehensive annual financial report? No. Mm-mm. All the troubles you think he has, and then focusing on, you know, trying to pull the rug out from under him. If Donald Trump openly mentioned the comprehensive annual financial report on a live network feed where it went out to the entire population, I'd give him probably about 3 days. Something would happen. Plane crash, heart attack, you know, whatever. He'd have about 3 days. He knows that. Thus, never mentioned. Ron Paul, who everybody says, oh, Ron Paul's the big guy for the, you know, I'm going back now 15 years ago. People sent letters to him asking him to put up links to the Texas Comprehensive Annual Finance Reports, a couple of cities, counties, school districts, and so forth, on his congressional website. And keep in mind, you know, these are government reports. I have two letters signed by him, which he sent to these people that were asking him. I'm sorry, this is a government website, and I cannot promote outside private links. Thus, your request is declined. Now, Ron Paul was the head of the Financial House Committee for Texas. He reviews the comprehensive annual financial reports, daily. But he also knows if he had mentioned it and brought the public's attention to it, his life would be over. Now, you mentioned I was personally attacked. Let me go to the original. When I first started...
Walter Berrien, our guest, ladies and gentlemen, hang tight. The good Sheriff Richard Max on the line. Maybe the sheriff's in town and he'll solve the financial problems in America. Maybe he'll solve the con game in plain sight, betraying the whole world. We'll talk about it in seconds. Sam, Kurt, Walter, and the good Sheriff on your radio.
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system. They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters.
At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they have this tendency to try to, tilt things in their direction.
There's no way.
You start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else. And you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused border agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text FIGHT to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. Defendapatriot.com.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Walter Berrien, our guest. We're talking about the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report, CAFR1.com, his website. Even Ron Paul, none of these people even speak of this. Are they afraid, do you think, Sheriff?
Yeah, I don't know. I we've talked about that excuse before, that Rand Paul won't do certain things or Ron Paul wouldn't do certain things because they've been threatened or they're afraid of retaliation or their family's getting hurt or whatever. And I really don't buy that much. I've been surprised by things Ron and Rand have done, but I disagree with them, but I've never thought it was because they were cowering to possible threats. You know, they've certainly stood against local corruption before, And I disagree with Walter on one thing. I don't believe this is the biggest issue in the entire country, and Sam, you and I know which one that is, and that's that our government puts innocent people in prison. Certainly it has something to do with this, and it all boils down to public corruption, and that I do agree with Walter on, because that is the biggest issue, because we have our Constitution being destroyed by bureaucrats and politicians and leaders who promise to uphold and defend the Constitution, obviously. And that's where we all agree, and we all see that the destruction of America is happening right in front of us. However, another thing that I question, though, is why is he not being attacked a lot more? I know he's had some, but if they're going to kill Rand Paul or Ron Paul or kill the president if they ever mention this, why aren't they going after Walter more? And they could certainly end him real easy. They could end me real easy, and I'm willing to say anything that's true about anything going on in government. I assail the IRS, and I assail the Federal Reserve, and I assail politicians who are corrupt and evil. And if there's evidence of this comprehensive financial report in every county and every state, I can't see where there wouldn't be somebody somewhere really making this their key issue to run for office or to make their political action committee well known, or to make it's like when I filed the lawsuit against the federal government. If I had been alone, I think I would have been ostracized and made out to look like a lunatic, which they've done to me several times anyway. But because seven other sheriffs joined the lawsuit, the light of day was shown upon this whole thing. And, I'm ready to stand with that comprehensive report and take it to the next level and whatnot. But I still question its existence in some places, and I don't know if all the numbers are right, but I'm not questioning Walter's integrity at all. I think he's a good man, but I just cannot see how in Washington D.C., where they can't keep a single secret, one side is just raring to go to get the other side, that this report isn't brought up more. And I can guarantee you, in my county of Graham County, Southeast Arizona, if they had this secretive, surreptitious money available, I just know somebody would have brought it forward. There were county commissioners there that I don't like that still would have totally brought this forward. If the state had it, they would have totally brought it forward. There's somebody there that would have brought this forward. I totally agree with.
Thousands have brought it forward, Richard. And by the way, it's good to talk to you again. It's been a long time.
Hey, good to talk to you, too.
Or so. But the, when I first started National Disclosure, it was a guy named Rich Smith running for governor of Oregon. He was already on the Republican ticket. He brought up the comprehensive annual financial report, sent out a bunch of emails, put it on his website. He was dropped by the Republican Party like a hot potato, never to be mentioned again. Reb Sutherland, running for governor of South Carolina. She brought up the comprehensive annual financial report in her website, emails. The local papers put her as a witch riding a broomstick on the front page of the papers. The bottom line is, it is the biggest game in town. And many of people have. There was a news reporter from Arizona, ABC affiliate. She did a article on the militias of Arizona, which I was the spokesperson for the Arizona Sons and Daughters of Liberty in Arizona. But she came down with the film crew, and I had the comprehensive annual financial report for the state of Arizona. It was 1994's report, I think. And I said, most of the problem is due to the total omission of the financial takeover of the country by government. And I challenged her right on the spot to make open and conspicuous mention of the comprehensive financial report. She had her camera guy do a full camera shot. Well, that night on the 10 o'clock news, her name was Mary Flanagan, long blonde hair, tall. And the militias of this country are working on massive non-disclosure having to do with this report, the comprehensive annual financial report. Full camera shot for about 40 seconds as she's speaking. Well, the 10 o'clock news usually airs verbatim at 7 a.m. in the morning. guess what 10-minute segment was cut out of the news? Hers.
Well, the bottom line is, as I always say...
She was no longer an anchor 3 days later, by the way.
The bottom line is, as I always say, and I think this point is well taken, you know, he who owns the media makes the rules. And you got to kind of ask yourself, who owns the media? And a lot of people tell you it's boiled down to what, three or five or whatever, big corporate players or whatever else, and even different brand names are owned by different people, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Who owns the media, Walter?
You got to break down where they're getting their funding from and their investment capital from. I mean, government regulates the media. Not only do they offer the financial incentive of investment capital funding and debt funding, they can pull the rug out from any media group through their use of their, you know, regulatory bodies. Now, I had a question for Richard, which I asked him over 10 years ago, probably, and I'll see if the answer is still the same. I mentioned to Richard, I was getting attacked nonstop. They were attacking my family, my children, blatant in the courts. I mean, nonstop criminality, There were three attempted hits on me back then, which I caught all three, found out who was involved, and so forth. I said, Richard, is there any organization anywhere in the country, federal court systems, federal jurisdiction courts, agencies, U.S. Attorney's Office, anyone that if you have all of the documentation, all of the evidence, all of the witnesses necessary to do a 40-count indictment, that will carry through on it and do it? And the reply back, from Richard 10 years ago, nope, there's not. And I got
all right,
the same
Sheriff.
Back from Jack McLam and a few others.
Sheriff, we want to know. What do you say now?
Yeah, I still pretty much agree with that. Again, it goes back to the corruption that we're all fighting, and the reason you have a radio show, Sam, bottom line, is that there is so much corruption out there, and that we totally agree with. I've never seen this story except from Walter, from anybody. I've never seen it, and I'm sure that there's, he's accurate in the few people that have brought it forward. I would also be interested in knowing where the gold is that's supposed to be in Fort Knox, and the lies that our politicians tell us and the things they hide from us. Certainly, are they capable of hiding this? They are. But I also say, just like I said earlier, there's always going to be somebody to blow the whistle on something like this. And they can't keep killing every one of them or silencing every one of them. They can certainly try and do their best. And they do have a way, as you mentioned, to shut us up because they control the media. But I would like to see a lot more of this, and I'd like to see if it's every state and every county, or maybe, I think, Walter, you said there are a few exceptions, right?
Well, if it's a very small local governments, they just put out an annual financial report, and then a very, very small one will just put out a cash report. But any of the large governments, all of them put out a comprehensive annual financial report. Especially all the states, universities, large pension funds, large cities, large counties, enterprise operations, they all put up a capper. But keep in mind, like I said before on the radio show earlier, take a look at the example of cappers I put up a link to on my front page, 4600. Okay? And everyone listening to the show, here's the holy grail of accounting. It's the Bible, to local governments. Not a peep, not a mention, not a word. Syndicated news media, controlled education, both political parties. And the obviousness has to, slam you right in the face.
It's shocking, but it's all true. Walter with us, ladies and gentlemen. The good sheriff with us. Kurt with us. Kurt's got questions coming up. And I want to ask the sheriff, what do you do when everybody's gone criminal? Sometimes without even knowing it.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Yeah. USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Talks are resuming in Washington between U.S. and Mexican officials over the president's latest threatened tariffs, this time on Mexican goods. He's threatening to impose them beginning on Monday unless the Mexican government stops the flow of illegal immigrants into the U.S. The Mexican ambassador to the U.S. says her country is doing all it can to stem the tide of illegal immigration.
We explained to them all the enforcement measures that Mexico is taking to address the challenge of migration now.
Yesterday, Mexican officials did announce they have bolstered their troop presence at their southern border to keep Central American immigrants from crossing that border. A disappointing May jobs report from the government. Economists expected to see 180,000 jobs created, but only 75,000 jobs were. And this is USA Radio News.
At Walgreens, we know that your day doesn't stop for diabetes. So when you've got places to go and people to see, count on Walgreens every day to get expert diabetes advice 24/7. Find all major brands of testing supplies like Walgreens True Metrics in-store and online. And download tools to help you stay on track, like our 5-star mobile app with Pill Reminder. At Walgreens, we are your diabetes go-to. Stop by and talk to your pharmacist today. Walgreens, trusted since 1901.
Here's a great deal on MyPillow. When you go to MyPillow.com, click on the two-pack special, type in promo code USA, you'll get two MyPillow premium pillows for $69.98. Now, that's only $34.99 a pillow. You will not get that price anywhere at retail. It's the lowest price ever offered on radio or TV. And like all MyPillow products, 10-year warranty, 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the two-pack special, use my promo code USA.
A man under arrest for allegedly plotting to toss grenades in Times Square. The unidentified man arrested by the FBI's Joint Terrorism Task Force. They reportedly caught wind of the man's intentions while tracking his purchases of grenades. Parts of southeast Louisiana are cleaning up after a reported 6 tornadoes touched down there. One twister hit Sorrento, and it's responsible for 6 injured workers at the ExxonMobil Pipeline Company. Just days after the passing of Leon Redbone, another distinctive American singer has passed away. The singer-musician known as Dr. John, who was born Malcolm John Rebenack, has died at 77. A Facebook page statement saying he passed away of a heart attack yesterday. He earned 6 Grammys for his unique blend of rock, jazz, blues, and pop, all with the flavor of New Orleans. You're listening to USA Radio News.
All right, Sheriff, you know, the sheriffs, in many ways, are the chief law enforcement officers in the land. And you say, well, that's been proven bogus. Uh-huh, just like the financial report proven bogus. I'm not saying the sheriff has no check and balance to him, because he does. But I am saying to you that, you know what, the sheriffs have a critical role in America. If you don't believe me, go look at Richard Mack's Supreme Court, where he beat Bill Clinton to make the point. We just need to start from there, call us conspiracy nuts, but how come Judge Scalia wrote the majority decision and agreed with a good sheriff, and Bill Clinton and crew got shut down. If that doesn't make the point, I don't know what does. Nevertheless, Sheriff, what do you do when the whole thing's so rogue that you've got good, honest school teachers and government officials and even district attorneys and everybody, governors, and I mean, all these people are signing off on these literal criminal documents where the government, by fraud and by debt, has taken over the whole systems to the point where there's no honesty. Nobody will speak out and tell the truth on it. They're too afraid of their political hides. Even Rand Paul and Ron Paul and some of these people aren't willing to double down and face the music on this thing. What do you do when the whole thing's so criminal? I don't know how you ever back out of it. What we need is honest money and to start arresting people.
Well, yeah, I totally agree, and that part is true, too, about controlling and one of the worst issues around in our country, which I'll still always hang my hat on, innocence in prison. But Walter's correct, and so are you, Sam, in your reference to the widespread corruption, and that is of honest money. If somebody else controls your monetary system, they control your country, and I believe that if we were more honest in our
economic structure in this country, and that we had an honest dollar, that a lot of these other corrupt practices would also cease. I don't know if, Walter, you know this, but one of our biggest pushes at the CSPOA, my constitutional sheriff organization, is addressing the innocent people that are in prison.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's lucky that you're not there, because you have been so outspoken about public corruption.
No, they've tried quite a few times. But the would you say it all boils down to two words: greed and opportunity?
Greed. Greed and dishonesty.
I don't know if I gave you a little background on why I got involved, Richard, but the both of my parents were directors inside of state government. The father used to be the director of personnel over all state employees in New Jersey, and the mother was the head supervisor for the Middlesex County Welfare Board Child Legal Support Unit. The grandfather on the mother's side, he was the head of customs for the Philadelphia and Camden ports. What was interesting, my father, on my father's side, he was a head bootlegger, back during Prohibition for the Philadelphia and Camden area. But I grew up with a lot of interesting stories on the table through my entire lifetime. And, the father always tried to teach me very solid values. And just on the genetic side, on my father's side, very strong. Yeah. My grandfather, the guy that controlled Philadelphia and Camden, he could grab your skull with one hand and smash it. You did not get him mad. He had a very hot disposition. I took fourth in the state in wrestling, heavyweight title, Navy boxing, brown belt in judo since I was 14 years old. When I was 18, I could flip over a Chevy Impala if I was mad. But I was the kind of guy that liked to protect everybody. Nobody picked on anybody in front of me all the way through school. I mean, they knew, I had a reputation for fighting five or seven guys at one time. And I could drop them in 35 seconds. So no one picked on anyone in front of me, because I'd always back up the guy getting picked on. When I got involved with this, on the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report, I said everybody else pulls the blankets over their heads, ducks for cover, and backs off. They're going to destroy my family. They're going to destroy my business. Ooh. Yeah, myself, I said, I'm the smartest person I know, the strongest person I know, and if I can't stand up to this, who else can? And I started national disclosure in June of 98. There were three attempted hits on me, local, out of Arizona. I documented all three. Had an FBI agent, Kim Kelly. I briefed him. He looked at 3,500 pages of documentation, said he made several phone calls, found out everything I told him was true. And what can I do? I said, get him indicted. He wrote up about 26, 28 count indictments against these guys, a couple of judges, prosecutors, city attorney, including solicitation to commit murder. So they were involved in the hits, two of the hits that came after me. Now, the FBI agent, when he approached the U.S. attorney, said, nope, we're not going to go there. Nope, we're not going to go there. Three times he brought a case to him. You need, an FBI agent needs the cooperation of the U.S. Attorney's Office. If he doesn't have it, they will not prosecute. So on all three occasions, we're not going to go there. We're not going to go there. They moved Kim Kelly off of being the senior agent out of Flagstaff over the entire region and put him as a aide to a federal district court judge until he retired 2 years later. Yeah, so when the fix is in, there's very little you can do except peck away little bit by little bit at the injustices, what's going on, the people involved. You're not going to be able to stop them, but you sure as hell can annoy them and bring attention. They do not like the light of day, period. But that's why I got involved with this. And I've taken a lot of hits. I've had my kids, three children, effectively kidnapped from me since birth. I haven't seen them except for once in the last 15 years. my youngest daughter, who's 18 years old, okay, who I thought was going to do well, straight A student, just after she turned 18, she's now sitting in a Ohio county jail, charged with murder and robbery under $3 million bond. My oldest daughter, who just turned 23, she just got out of the Arizona State Prison after serving a year and a half and so forth. You know, my son, he's trying to get into computer programming and so forth, but he's 19 now, and if you talk to him after about 2 minutes, you think you're talking to someone that was 10 years old. These guys do not play fair. You have a total omission from the syndicated media, controlled education, both political parties, of many of facts, including the comprehensive annual financial report and the wealth and finances behind it. And the aspect of saying, well, I want to hear from you, Walter. Yeah, that's right. I wasn't afraid of getting killed, and I wasn't afraid of confronting these clowns. I wasn't afraid of sticking up for a few hundred million people. And it's almost cost me my life a couple of times, a lot of heartache that you cannot imagine. I spent many a nights in tears.
All right, Sheriff, we talk about the Innocence in Prison Project, and we talk about people in jail, but what about people that are virtually in jail, like a Walter, who, you know, they basically, you know, hey, he's a felon. They say he's this, he's that, he's that, you know.
The felon part was when they grabbed my son out of my arms by armed force when I was visiting my father in New Jersey and I wasn't too cooperative.
Right. So then, hey, you're fighting back against the establishment. You're okay. What do you do, Sheriff, when you've got this guy literally his character's destroyed? What he says is in plain sight. It's documentable till the cows come home. But if the mainstream press doesn't admit it, no governments admit it, everybody says you're crazy, and they literally then start claiming you're a felon, claiming you're this. Hey, all your kids are. At some point, they say, well, this guy's not even stable. Then what do you do with this stuff, Sheriff? I submit that he's virtually in prison. And the rest of us are held hostage.
Well, there's some truth to that, and that's, you know, I really feel for him and his family. I've seen some of that before, and probably not to that extent. But you know, the old saying, Sam, it's very dangerous being right when your government's wrong. And certainly that has happened to a lot of people. You know, I've been blackballed. Sheriff Clark's been blackballed. Media's gone after us, blah, blah, blah. But not to the extent that he's had. It appeared that somebody shot at my family during my lawsuit time. But it's still relatively... something that they don't want to expose. They still know that somewhere, somehow, somebody's going to do something finally. And, you know, I still wonder where others are on that, but I think there's some sheriffs in the country that would run with this.
That's what our buddy J.R. Pyle thought, and that's what our buddy Mike Zillow thought.
Yeah.
And when it came to getting to the bottom of the birth certificate, Donald even promised to get to the bottom of the birth certificate. Now he has authority to do so, and I don't hear a word of it. All right, quick pause. We're just all birthers. We're all whacked out and crazy, but the truth shall set you free. A quick pause. Kurt's questions next.
I really don't want to talk about this, but I will. I'm just so mad. I didn't get asked to the junior prom, and it's raining, which means by the time I get to school, I'm soaking wet. Dad picked me up just after I left, and I was so mad I got out, and he said, wait, your mom said to give you this. I forgot my lunch money, and then I dropped it in the water, and I was late for history, and so at lunchtime, I had to find something on John Stuart Mill, which, of course, our library didn't have, so I had to walk all the way down to the office to call my mom, and she found something on the internet and called me back. And Karen, she wouldn't even help me, and that's a whole nother story. But Dad helped me conjugate nouns or whatever on the way to the swim team workout, and then he read my history paper while I was in the pool, and of course, I forgot the bibliography, so I had to do that with my mother when I got home, and it made me totally forget that I put my jeans in the washer that morning, and I hate it when they sit wet like that all day and smell like mildew, but my mom said she put them in the dryer while I was at the swim team, and you know, I'm just not gonna go to the prom, no matter who asks me. I just want to stay home with my mom and dad.
Family.
And just hang out.
Isn't it about time?
Unless Dustin asks me.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? As a physician, I have looked into the eyes of one-pound babies. I have cradled their small bodies in the palm of one hand. I defy those who are careless, who would disregard life and look at these tiny little miracles and say, we're not going to protect that.
But I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
All right, my co-host Kirk Crosby is so kind to let us all take the center stage, but I want to give him a chance to kind of chime in here. This stuff is shocking, and everybody else is waiting for somebody else to do something, except for guys like Walter, who are standing up nobly, boldly, and independently, and without enough of us to back them, sadly, they get hung out to dry and completely destroyed. Now, I don't mean that Walter's completely destroyed. He is obviously willing to stand up, and we commend his efforts. I'm just telling you that we need Americans to stand together with these causes. If there was a million Americans that stood with Walter from a funding point of view and from a exposure point of view, we could force a circumvent of the mainstream press. We could force this into the limelight and demand accountability and discussions. But without enough of us, we just can't get it done. Walter Berrien, our guest, ladies and gentlemen, his website, CAFR1.com. Check it out. All the raw data is there if you don't believe him. Kurt, you're up, sir.
Very good, Sam. Thank you. And, you know, we certainly appreciate you, the listener, being part of this program and participating in whatever way you can, whether it's a nickel a month or whatever you do. As well, we hats off to guys like Walter Berrien and Sheriff Mack, who've, well, shown us the way in many ways. And anyway, I was thinking about this, you know, in the age of the Make America Great Again slogan, how much more we could add to that. I mean, you know, including the freeing the innocents, the CAFR, there's just so much more. I mean, imagine if we really let people know that there is no real need for your additional tax dollars when your governments have these massive slush funds that they own all this wealth. If these things are really true, I mean, what good representative, and I highlight the word good, or, you know, honest representative would not want to, participate in bringing that information forward. Now, I know that, it may require the use of, you know, like Sheriff Mack said, the good sheriffs and others, but doggone it, in the age of making America great again, you know, I can't think of a better time to do it than now.
I have a question for Richard along those lines.
Go ahead, sir.
All right. I brought this point forward probably on about 200 different radio programs. And if you took all the organized crime families that ever existed, Giancanas, the Capones, Castellanos, Gambinos, took
Kennedy.
Them all together.
Okay. The Clintons, yeah, I'm with you.
Oh, well, Clintons are politics. I don't call them an organized crime family. The traditional organized crime family. They'd all look like a bunch of kids selling lemonade on the street corner compared to our own collective government. You know, government on the extortion principle, the money principle, the theft principle, you know, if it walks like a duck, talks like a duck, quacks like a duck, it is a duck. And government is, I've said it, they're the definition of organized crime. So, would you agree that all the organized crime families would look like a bunch of kids selling lemonade on the street corner compared to our collective government, and based on what they do?
Oh, yes. Yes, I've said something similar to that quite often. The only real competition that the mafia has ever had as a government. And but yeah, government is worse. Government could end all the mafias and go after them, but they're in cahoots with each other, and the politicians love the donations from those families. So
yeah, and in reality, government took over all the businesses organized crime was running, and they expanded them 1,000-fold.
What do you say to that, Kurt Neisemit? Do you all the new media organizations, Google, Facebook, Twitter, you know, you hear Donald and government complaining about them and how they're taking over and they're violating our privacy, and there's supposed to be a big breakdown between government and the big tech industries, but I submit they're all in bed together. And if you go look at the growth of these big companies, Google, Facebook, Twitter, every one of them has government investment big time, or they'd never be as big and never have the control they have today. I've made that point over and over, Walter. Is that true?
100%. 100%. Exactly true.
All right, Kurt, what do you say to that, sir?
And you can break down by adding up the collective government's investment, whether it be in IBM, Apple, Google, you know. You'll see that they're the primary owners collectively. And another pointer, government created their own private associations, all became members of the associations that they created, and now they can network as a unified body. You know, in controlling the Fortune 500 companies, the Googles, Yahoos, whatever. Yeah, through their private associations, which they get proxy voting rights to exercise their investment ownership at board.
Well, you got to take care of your investments, for crying out loud. What do you say to all that, Kurt?
Well, I say I sure hope that we can hear from Walter Burian more often. You know, I don't mean for him to take up Sheriff Mac's time, but we ought to at least
Let's regroup and we'll set it up consistently. So, Walter, let me ask you this question. You know, who in a roundabout way, then, with what we're saying, does not work for the government?
That's a hard one to, because, you know, one way, directly or indirectly, you got all the big boys directly involved, the little mom and pop, you know, businesses and companies. But keep in mind, anyone who creates something extremely profitable, you know, starting off from scratch, is taking over. If the profit's there, the government capital comes in and buys them out. You know,
either they buy them out or they regulate them to force them to capitulate, and then they buy them
out. Now, I did bring forward something 4 years ago, 5 years ago, which is the actual remedy and solution. You know, government took it all over by investment. So what I brought forward is we can create government investment trust funds that generate the revenue to meet their budgetary requirements, so taxation is not needed. You can phase out and eliminate all taxation. Sales tax, property tax, income tax. And I had 5 or 6 politicians, you know, senators, congressmen, governors, a treasurer for a state. Walter, show me where that's worked one place in the country before. They never asked me that question again because I say it's worked in every venue across the country for the last 100 years. And they go, what? I said, well, you had no problem creating your multi-trillion-dollar pension funds that generate $3 trillion a year. They have $16.5 trillion collective totals.
And as long as we live in the con game framework.
Yeah, so you did that for yourself.
As long as we live in the con game framework that works, I'm proposing to call a halt and realize we've been played for suckers and call a halt to the whole con game. What do you say to his proposal, Sheriff?
Well, I totally with that. I would love to see it happen somewhere, and I still agree. I still agree with what I said. Hey, what do you know? I agree with me. I think there's some sheriffs that would run with this.
I don't.
Places in the country.
I think there's sheriffs that'll talk big, but they won't really do it.
Yeah, maybe so, because like I say, there's not very many that I think would do it, but I'm pretty sure there's at least one or two.
All right, yeah, well, I say we put them on the radio and we
talk need to get
him.
Denny Pineman. I think he'd have a good time.
Yeah, he's
time
not a sheriff
this.
Anymore, though. They kicked
I know, but at least just like Sheriff Mack's not a sheriff anymore, he could certainly two guys together.
Here's what needs to happen, though. We need to get a county in which
you
we
know,
actually have.
What about the We Build the Wall guys? I mean, they might want to pick up on this because they need a bunch of money to build that wall, and
not
you got
happen.
Sheriff Clark and all those guys working on it. I mean,
I don't think
know,
they're willing to do it,
great.
Kurt.
Opportunity.
Well, one notation, Richard should know this. When he was sheriff, okay, any sheriff from across the country, if the political boys are out to target you and take you out. Hey, he was found with an ounce of cocaine in his patrol car. Hey, did you hear he's gone out with 15 and 16-year-old girls? Doesn't matter if it's true or not.
No, I know. I've already been accused of that.
They'll use their contacts to promote it.
Yeah, I've already had that part happen.
Yeah.
I called an investigation on myself because of their accusations about that. But, you know,
they don't play fair.
No, oh, no, of course not. But, yeah, God bless you. Keep trying. There's so much already on everybody's plate.
So you know what we need to do, though, guys, is you need to get a county so that we can create our own trust funds and crank in billions and trillions so that we can start to tell our own story and so that we can
start to stand up against
this.
Well, how many times have I said on your show, Sam, that the way the financial situation is working just without this comprehensive financial report, let's say we don't even know about that. Even with that, the tax structure is such and the debt is such that we shouldn't be paying any taxes because obviously they don't care about debt. So why should we pay any taxes at all? They can just keep raising the debt. And deficit spending doesn't matter to our politicians. So why do we need to be so taxed and imprisoned and enslaved by their ridiculous taxation? So I've said that before, and it's very similar to what you just said earlier, Walter. And, you know, it boils down, and I am so sick of saying this, but I'm going to say it again. It just boils down to the corruption that we have in the world and in our country.
Due to the money involved. Everybody keeps leaving out due to the money involved.
Of course.
But a very important point about the CAFR. This is very important to know. It was kept under wrap and key up until 98 when it came out with national disclosure and bang, 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 reached 150 million people almost overnight. Oops, we got a problem. The group that cuts the policy for the CAFR accounting is called GASB, Government Accounting Standards Board. They immediately sent out transmittal letters. Up until 1999, it showed in the combined financial columns the gross standing dollar amount. There was a $35 billion fund. It showed a $35 billion fund. What they did to mask is they went to net accounting. And now, on the combined financial columns, they will create liabilities going out 35, 40 years. And that $30 billion balance, they can draw it down to zero or actually make it a negative figure of $1 or $2 billion. So, you know, since 2000, between 2000 and 2005, they all re-geared to show net accounting. So on every page, you'll see net figures, net figures, net figures. You know, they could be standing there with $1 trillion in assets, but if they create $1 trillion of advanced liabilities going out 40 years, the net sum is zero. So that's the game being played there. It's very important to understand that.
All right, Kurt, the final word's yours, my friend.
Oh, boy. I'll tell you what. You know, in the age of making America great again and the world great again, there's sure a lot to be done. And the swamp monsters aren't just in Washington, D.C., are they, Sam?
No, in fact, I see even the city Kurt lives in creating a golf course and creating the same shenanigans on the local level, almost identical to Walter, the way Walter started off the program talking about an example city he had. These cities are learning, and counties and states are learning exactly how the game is played, and the insiders are playing the game, and the outsiders are left wondering what happened. And it's all across the nation. It's all across the world, from the biggest to the smallest government. It's all backed by dishonest money, and it's all in plain sight. Walter's right, and there you have it. Thank you, Walter.
And Richard, Sam, everybody have a great week.
Thank you, Sheriff.
Same to you guys. Thanks.
All right, for Sam and Kurt, we declare we the people. Along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore a grand old republic. But ladies and gentlemen, it's going to take a lot of work and a lot of guts. Just ask Walter. It's a tough road to hoe. I'll tell you that right now. But we declare this nation shall endure. We declare this to be the greatest country on the face of the earth, despite it all. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the republic.